Welcome to the Wealth Building Made Simple podcast with Philip Washington Jr. Today's episode is brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com. Today, Philip talks about sound money management. Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance. And now, here's Philip.
We are back with another episode of Wealth Building Made Simple, brought to you by StonehillWealthManagement.com, a wealth management company where we help people get their money from here to the future with the, hopefully, the least amount of inflation drag based on your risk tolerance and time frame and goals and objectives. It's also brought to you by Wealth Building Made Simple. It's our newsletter where I give my unfiltered thoughts. I guess I get it on my podcast too, but this is more for the people who like the writing. And I go a little bit more detailed, I feel like, because I can write and go deep and get super clear in my thoughts. So check it out, wealthbuildingmadesimple.us. Got a little bit of free stuff and some paid stuff, but check it out. Today we are talking about sound money management, and not really just at the individual level, but also at the societal level, because the principles are no different, right? If you understand sound money management yourself, then you can spot it in companies, you can spot it in governments, which will help you understand economic systems and how they work better. It's an old saying that says real recognize real, right? Meaning if you it's one thing to understand the principles, right? Because then you can use your brain to spot it out, but you have to rely on remembering the principles. But if you build sound money management into the essence of who you are, then you no longer have to rely on remembering things or accessing information or to spot it, right? It becomes who you are, right? So you can rely on intuition. You can say, this feels right because it's inside of who you are. So I want to go through the principles, right, that I really encourage you to build these principles into your own money management habits. And then, because again, once you're a good money manager, then you're going to spot other good money managers and good money management systems, and then it becomes easier to invest because you can sort through information a lot faster, right? You can feel what's right versus sort through lots of knowledge that you compare to these principles that you wrote down and memorized, right? We can just feel it, right, and sort through a lot of information. So money is energy, right? Ancient teachers would call spirit energy, right? That's one of the things where you have different languages, and then each culture has a different symbol for a language they mean, and so you sort of lose context, right? It's like horses in ancient symbology represented the mind, right? The beast also represented sort of the lower mind, right? The animal mind, right? The monkey mind, right? When you talk about spirit, when they talk about, spirits or demons or stuff like that, that was really emotions, right? Emotions that we felt, right? And when you think of the word emotion is energy in motion, right? That's how you got the word emotion, right? So money is energy, right? And so I call money is spirit. And just like the, a lot of the ancient teachings talked about, a spirit or, God settled upon man and animated man, right? When you think about it in that context, you understand that I think about money is like a energy or spirit floating around, figuring out where it's going to settle, but it's looking for the most solid foundation, right? Or like the worthy one, right? Again, Thor and his hammer, Arthur and his sword. It's all like, side note, like I'm just a super nerd about like all these stories that teach the principles of the human spirit, because they all are talking about similar things, and you can actually apply them to just everything in life, because everything in life is energy. But I digress. So let's go back. So when you're looking at money, right? Money is gonna be attracted to a solid foundation, right? And a solid foundation, I'm gonna explain what it's not, and I'm gonna explain what it is, right? So a solid foundation is very scarce in a world run by fixers, right? And fixers are humans that think that they know better than, what we might call Mother Nature, right? Humans that want to go counter to like the natural order of how things work. So they want to fix things, right? They say, I know more than the market, so I'm gonna place my intellect in control of the market, and I'm going to manipulate things in an attempt to like do good or make things the way that I want them, right? I use like an example. This is textbook every government since the beginning of time, right? And what they do, right? They'll have a good thing going, and they'll have a land with plenty of resources, and then they'll look outside their land and they'll say, oh, these people have resources that we covet, that we want, and so we need to go get it, right? And so then you move into empire building, right? But whenever you are moving from that mindset or that thought process, which is a non-abundant thought process, it's a lack thought process, right? Then you move outside of your resources, right? So groups of people do that, and they begin coveting things outside of themselves, right? Okay, now they're moving in like stress energy, right? Which is like, it's the equivalent of like moving outside of your budget, right? You got a good lifestyle, things are going well, you're naturally progressing on your increases, and then you see somebody pull up with a car you want, right? And then you think, all right, I want that car, so you go borrow to get the car, right? So this is the beginning. Governments, they'll borrow from their people to go to war, but that appetite cannot be quenched. And so at some point, when the borrowing and the taxing gets too high, then they begin to start messing with the money, right? Creating more money, which is a tax on savers, people who buy government debt, use government money, right? And it creates like the death spiral, debt spiral of a country and a currency. And that's happened like over and over since the beginning of time. You've never had a government currency that didn't devalue over time, right? Including the dollar that's worth like 99% of what it was 100 years ago. And so when that happens, it creates a lot of confusion around like what's real money and what's fake money, because you take the system that we have right now, right? You have a business where if you're in business and you are just building a regular business, let's say like manufacturing, right? Because of the policies that require that, because we have an inflationary monetary system, it forces growth for growth's sake, right? So you have to, in a simple way, it's a system that sort of incentivizes borrowing money cheaply and then reinvesting it in something that's growing, because if you don't, the cash that you make becomes worth less over time, right? Meaning like, and I know this may kind of throw some people's head in a spin, because this is the world that we like live in. So you go, of course there's inflation, right? Of course the value of my money becomes less relative to the goods and services that I want to buy. That's just normal. Well, that's just our normal. It doesn't have to be that way, right? It's that way because of the insatiable asset or the insatiable desire of like empire buildings, right? And then you get the you get the each generation that builds on top of sort of that system. But what I'm saying is, imagine that isn't the case, right? Imagine that you could sell a widget, and then you could take your profit and you can put it in, you can store it somewhere, and then that the money alone grows. So then that means you sell enough widgets, it grows. You don't have to be on this rat race tunnel of continuing to acquire new clients and borrow money to get this aggressive growth to have your money not get deflated away, right? Meaning if the cost of things didn't increase over time and your money did increase over time, right? Then you really, businesses wouldn't have to grow as big, right? You can just figure out, okay, how much money do I need to live on? My business can create that. My savings over time would actually grow, right, above inflation. And just savings, right? I don't have to aggressively borrow money and grow things, right? And that will trickle down through everybody else. And so you sort of have a very peaceful society, right? I'm talking hypothetically, right? But I'm saying that would be how things would run if you had sound money and there wasn't a confusion of money. But in this current system, that's not the way it works. And so, and you also have some people who are able to get access to money and borrow more than others, right? That creates sort of a scarcity type of situation or an advantage type situation. And then you have that information edge, right? Because there's a lot of people that don't understand what I'm saying about the system. They don't understand that the system rewards borrowing money and investing it in scarce resources. So if you don't have the information edge, you get left behind, right? But the information edge is compounding. So if you use credit wisely, you get a good credit score and your advantage builds. And if you don't use it wisely, you don't have a great credit score and it builds in the opposite way, right? So where I'm going with it is because the system is built this way and everybody doesn't understand it, you get a lot of people that just are caught up in the system and they're confused on what money actually is, because it's not the dollars. Because what I just said, the dollars are set to become worth less than what you have to buy, just off jump. So then you go, well, what is money, right? Is it Apple stock? Is it Bitcoin? Is it Ethereum? Is it real estate in Texas? Is it real estate in Oklahoma, right? Is it government bonds? Is it bonds of China, right? You have all these tons of sources of money popping up that people are having to figure out to save into so that they can have some money in the future. And there's infinite options to store your money. I mean, is it art, right? Is it NFTs? So you got all these options, which is fine, but those options would not need to be the case if the money was sound, right? So here's where I'm going. I wanted to build that out. Hopefully I did a good job of it. I kind of struggled for a bit, but my point is, when the money is not sound, you get all these extra versions of money that pull up, again, stocks, securities, all these things that you have to sort through to figure out what sound money is. So hopefully you understand that. Now, how do you sort through all these options to figure out what sound money actually is, right? It is money that is scarce, right? And scarce doesn't mean there's not plenty for everybody. Scarce just means it can't be replicated easily by humans, right? I like to use the example of water. There's plenty of water on the planet for everybody. There are scarce areas of water based on your locale, right? But in total, there's plenty of money around the world for humans, and it's always cycling in different forms. And so we have plenty of water, right? The money that has, you look at gold or real estate, which has been the preferred money for wealthy people when like since the beginning of time because of the government's making the value of the paper money worth less over time and its derivatives. But the reason why real estate or gold has been such a sound money, as and these, they're not the only sound money, but I'm giving you examples because they're managed by like the laws of nature, like meaning, there's only so much real estate, right? Gold might be a better example, right? Gold, while there is plenty of gold on the planet for you to dig up, it requires like energy to dig it up, right? So you got to like pay for equipment, use energy, pay people. And so there's a limit to how much gold humans can actually dig up, because what also happens too is there's a natural supply and demand mechanism from the resources and the money and the demand of humans that sort of Mother Nature autocorrects. Let me give you like an example. I'm trying to not go super economics nerd, but let's say gold prices are skyrocketing, right? Gold is going up a lot, right? Then you're going to have a lot more people attracted to putting money, time, and talent into the gold industry. And so once you attract more money, more people into skyrocketing problems, that corrects the price problem because now there's an oversupply of people going after it. And so it brings the price down, right? So you have sort of like without humans in the middle saying there's too much gold production, right? Like it automatically self-corrects itself because of like the natural supply and demand curves of different actors and resources working together in a marketplace, right? I call that managed by the laws of Mother Nature. You know what I mean? Without any humans in the middle dictating this is the appropriate gold price that we can let people sell it at. So what I'm saying is you want to have the least amount of, you want to have an asset that has the least amount of manipulation by humans, right? Which means like it could be, for example, this is why you look at Apple stock. This is why Apple stock can be a good source of money, because Apple has a network of phone holders that is scarce, because in order to have the Apple experience, you have to have an Apple phone, and the supply and demand of people wanting Apple phones to Apple-like network is like super limited, meaning like you can only get that network through Apple. And so it makes Apple stock a very valuable asset because an Apple also like restricts the amount of stock that can be sold. So they're not always issuing new stock every single year because they don't have to, right? They're making so much money. But that's an example of, you look at the supply and demand of Apple stock is proper. Like, look at Bitcoin, right? Bitcoin is only going to be 21 million, like only going to be 21 million, right? And in order to mine the Bitcoin to get some of the 21 million from a mining standpoint or approve transactions, it requires a lot of energy in that proof of work system. And I can go through like, you look at real estate and you look at like areas, right? The most productive cities or areas have the highest real estate values because like of the productive value of the real estate. And so I wanted to lay that out, right? Because sometimes I've mentioned before like scarcity, and people go, well, Philip, you talk about scarcity and abundance. Like, how do those two play together? Well, because we pull ideas from the infinite world of our imagination, right? So we take the old ideas, we take them into imagination, reshape them into new ideas, right? Or, you know, which they're all around like the same principles. But so like that process is like the recycling of water, right? It's just recycling all ideas in a new over and over again and infinitely, just expressing them differently. But as those, as the money that is used to bring those new ideas to life are hovering around the economies, right? It's wanting to be tied down into something that is scarce or that cannot be manipulated by humans, right? And so this is very similar to going back to how you can apply it to your own life. It's like if you don't operate like the governments of the world, right, and you live your life and you find happiness like in peace in your current life, and then you kind of let things happen and play out according to your resources, and you never really get overextended, right? And you're always going to have like extra, right? And then when you have that extra, because you are a sound money manager, or what I mean call like a balanced money manager, meaning like you play within the boundaries of your energy or your money. You don't let that income and expense balance get out of whack, right? As you built that into who you are, then it becomes easy to say, oh, okay, these governments, they don't exercise those principles. And so I don't really feel comfortable owning their bonds because they don't manage money well. Or this company, right? This company does not have sound good money management principles, right? They don't do things the way that I do things. And so like, I'm not really interested in giving them my money because I understand like how this thought process plays out financially, right? And it's easier to spot the assets and the investments that actually do use sound money management principles, right? But the foundation of it is like operating within your boundaries, right? And allowing those boundaries the time to expand without you becoming like what I call what the Black Panther coin is like, the colonizer mindset, right? Going outside, right? Going outside of yourself to conquer. No, you like cultivate the land you're in, right? And you expand the wealth from within to out versus out to in. I know that sounds sort of crazy, but it's like the truth. So hope this helps. Until next week, y'all enjoy yourself.
Philip Washington Jr. is a registered investment advisor. Information presented is for educational purposes only and does not intend to make an offer or solicitation for the sale or purchase of any specific securities, investments, or investment strategies. Investments involve risk and, unless otherwise stated, are not guaranteed. Be sure to first consult with a qualified financial advisor and/or tax professional before implementing any strategy discussed herein. Past performance is not indicative of future performance.